I'm going to give you 5 points tonight. And while you're turning over there, don't forget about Sunday morning at 8:30. We're going to have our breakfast. Todd and them, they'll be up here cooking a little bit before. If you want to go to the sunrise service, that'll be at Spindale Fellowship Holiness. We'll be bringing the sunrise message there. And we'll be coming back over here. That'll be at 7 over there. And then 8:30 here, and 9 o'clock will be Sunday school. That'll be a kind of a probably a working Sunday school. So we'll be in the front there eating together. Daddy will teach us Sunday school. And typically it only runs about 30 minutes, so no need to rush. Take your time, eat, and enjoy the fellowship. And then 10 o'clock we'll have our morning worship service. And I know a lot of folks have said they have to travel, be here, go there, and do all these different things with family, so we understand. And that way we can get here and worship our Savior in spirit and in truth, and then we shall do what we need to do. So I wish all of you a happy, happy Easter as we move forward. Now, we did not cover the origin and meaning of the word Easter, but please know, I know a lot of preachers are going to condemn it, they're going to talk about it, but know that Easter is a Christian word, not a pagan word. And so we'll cover that another day, another time. All right, Joshua chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 18. Joshua chapter 18. If you have your place there, please say amen. Amen. That sounds good. Just follow along with me. The Bible says, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." Father, we thank you tonight for your precious and holy word. Lord, we ask now that you'll open our hearts and minds to your truth. And Lord, we ask all these things, Father, that we will learn from this lesson tonight, from this message, that we may be drawn closer to thee. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us in Psalm 1, verse 18, it's Isaiah 1, verse 18, the prophet Isaiah says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I think we see a powerful parallel and message of that scene in the life of Rahab. Now, Rahab is, her story is mentioned here, beginning in Joshua chapter 2. We find out that evidently at one point in her life, she was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She did things. But it seems like that time in her life has passed. And the reasoning is because, one, her house where she lives is referred to as an inn. It's not a house of prostitution. It's an inn. People come in, they sleep. Not that you're sleeping with someone. It's you go in, you have a meal, you sleep, you get out, and you go on your way. But a major reason we understand is that she's kind of left this lifestyle behind is because she's using the scarlet dye to dye rope with. The last thing you're going to want to color with scarlet is rope. Scarlet was a very expensive dye made partly from the Atoa worm and is very, very expensive. That's why prostitutes wore that color. One, to mark them as prostitute, but secondly, because it was very expensive. So the last thing you want to get is some old crummy rope and dye it scarlet. So why was she dyeing rope scarlet? Well, that's your branding. People say, "Where'd you get that scarlet rope from?" "Well, I got it from, you know, Rahab over at her inn." Yes, sir.
What did you say it was made from?
I didn't hear you. It was the Atoa worm, partially. Just the Atoa worm blood by itself would create the color purple. So that would be the purple robes of royalty, believe it or not. The blood out of smushed worms. But you could kind of thin it some, and you could produce the color scarlet with certain different additives. And so both of these, purple and scarlet are both very expensive, costly dyes. So they're not easy to come by. So again, the last thing you want to be dyeing is rope. But she's doing it because she's got enough stock of the scarlet color dye because she's no longer dyeing her clothes that color because she's left that business. She left that profession. A lot of people, they don't get that because she still has the monkey or the title Rahab the harlot. Well, some people, they just never do lose some of these old nicknames that they have, evidently. But even though the Bible still calls her a harlot, doesn't mean she was practicing, if you will. That's just what she was known as. Now, this woman, interestingly enough, she's not a Jew. She's not an Israelite. But she does become a child of God. She's a foreigner. She's a woman of Jericho, but yet she winds up being in the most famous genealogy of all. She winds up being in the family that's going to produce Jesus. She's actually going to become the great-grandmother of David. And she is right inside that lineage of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this woman, who by and large should have died, she survived. Why? Because of faith. That's why. She had faith. You know, when the spies came into the country, into Jericho, and right before she hit them, she told them, "We've been scared to death of you for over 40 years. When your God split the Red Sea, we heard about it. And all our hearts," she told them, "melted." You know what that said? That says God made a way 40 years ago. And what happened to them? After they left Mount Sinai, they were all scared to death because they said, "Them people in that land, they're giants. They'll eat us up. And they'll hurt our children. They'll kill our children." But now the children are going into the promised land and the adults, except for two, are dead and their bones bleached inside the desert. Why? Because all them adults had no faith except two, Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two adults that had the faith. They said, "We can take the land because God's with us and God's going to fight for us." But everybody else said, "No, they're giants, we're grasshoppers, we can't do it." So now the children are about to march into that promised land. So they've crossed over Jordan. They did a circumcision on all the males and they're resting for 3 days. They've sent out new spies to spy out Jericho. And Rahab had faith in God. She told them, "We've been scared of y'all because your God fights for you. And I know that y'all are going to win in the end because of your God." So when they, before they left, they entered into an agreement with Rahab. They said, "You need to tie a scarlet cord, a scarlet rope. You need to tie it to your window. That when we come in here and we take the city, we'll save everybody in the south. But if you don't put it up there and we kill your family, that blood's going to be on you. It ain't going to be on us." So what'd she do? She tied a scarlet cord to her window. And that saved her life. And not just her life, but the life of everybody in her family. Everybody she put inside that house, they were saved. So point number one, what was interesting about Rahab's faith? Number one, Rahab's faith was a faith that saved. Rahab's faith was a faith that saved. You see, in Joshua chapter 6, listen to what Joshua said. "But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her.' And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the Lord." You know what the Bible tells us later? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." See, she should have, and she would have been destroyed. Just like lost people today. They should be, and they could be destroyed. They could be thrown into hell. But you know, Rahab had faith. She had faith that God was going to conquer that city. So that's the thing about it. Rahab had a faith that saved her. My question to you is, what makes your faith different than anybody else's faith? What makes your faith, let's just assume just for a minute, what makes your faith different than that of a devil's, that of a demon's? You say, wait a minute, what are you saying? You're saying that devils and demons have faith? Yeah, I do. The Bible consistently tells us over and over that the devils believe and they tremble. And there's many times in the Bible they'll come across somebody and say, like the seven sons of Sceva, they say, Paul I know, Peter I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? They know who Jesus is. The Bible tells us that the devils of hell, they know exactly who Jesus is. And you know the sad thing about that is? There's human beings today made in the image of God walking around, and they don't know what a demon knows. A demon has faith. A demon knows exactly who Jesus Christ is. But there's human beings that could be and should be on their way to heaven, but they're on their way to hell because they don't have the faith that a demon does. You know, there's people out there that say, oh, I believe in a higher power. I believe in God. That's wonderful. I do too. But you know what? The devils believe in the one true living God. There's people out there believing in a flying spaghetti monster. There's people out there that believe in Buddha. They believe in Hare Krishna. They believe in Kali. But the devils don't even believe that nonsense. They believe in the one true living God. And they know his son's name. And they know his name is Jesus. They know he's the creator. They know he's the real McCoy. So if you say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus too, but is your faith different than that of a demon? The demon believes in Jesus, so why isn't the demon going to hell? Well, Jesus didn't die for the demons. He died for you. He died for me. But how about something else there? The demon's going to keep on being in rebellion against God. What about you? You know God says to forgive. Why haven't you forgiven? God says we're supposed to live and act and do and live a certain way. Are you doing God's way? What about your faith is different than that of a demon? Is your faith truly a faith that's saved? Do we need to check up? I mean, guys, honestly, I would hate to have lived my life being in church, being around the truth, and then to die and split hell wide open when I was just playing church. I was just here to make Preacher Craig happy. Is it real? That's the question. I don't want it to be, well, yeah, it's real because, you know, that's what mom and pa believed. That's what mom and daddy believed. It don't matter if that's what mom and daddy believed. It needs to be your faith, amen, not their faith. Their faith ain't going to do you better good. It's got to be yours. You got to possess that faith. Don't just rattle off some word to get somebody off your back. Believe that. Make sure that yours is a faith that truly saves. Number two. What else do we find? We find that Rahab's faith was a faith that worked. Rahab's faith was a faith that worked. Look at verse 4 in chapter 2. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. What did this woman do? She risked her life. I mean, she lied to the king's men. You know what she did? She hid the spies. You know what she did when she did that? She went to treason. But she knew these men were men of God. And she acted. Because she knew in her heart of heart, God's going to win, and I want to be on the winning side. So I'm going to do whatever it takes. But the point is not that she's blessed for lying. It ain't that she's blessed for breaking her state commandments or whatever. She's blessed because she had faith and she acted on that faith. She believed. You know, a lot of times the world's going to want you to do something that's wrong. But God says, you need to do this. So whether the world says it's right or wrong, I'm more interested in what God says. So that's the thing, guys. That's where we need to take our stand, because we need to have a faith that's going to be able to work. Going to be able to apply that faith. Remember what the Bible says? You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If you have a faith and you say, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, but yet you don't ever do anything to exercise that faith and stand upon that faith, what good is your faith to begin with? What are you doing to exercise upon that faith? Where are you trusting God at in your life? You trust God with your soul to take you to heaven when you die. What about are you trusting God with in the little things in life? Guys, we've got to exercise our faith. How many people talk about, oh, you need to exercise, you need to eat healthy, you need to be in shape. Well, I am in shape. Round is a shape. Ha ha. Anyway. But exercise, you should exercise this. If you don't exercise things, it's not going to be well. What about your faith? Are you exercising your faith? Oh, I got to go out and walk so I can lose weight. What about walking daily by your Savior's side? How's that working out for you? Number three, Rahab's faith with a faith that testified. Rahab's faith with a faith that testified. That's important. You can believe in Jesus, but if you clam up, if you don't tell anybody, what good is it doing the kingdom of God? Look at verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. You will save alive my father, my mother, my brother, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Folks, she let it be known. She let it be known that she had faith that believed. So that's the thing about your faith and mine. We have to have, if we're going to have a faith like Rahab, we've got to have a faith that testifies. You've got to let it be known. You can't be ashamed of Jesus just because you got a Jew over here or a Muslim over there or an atheist over there or whoever else it might be. We've got to pronounce and let fly the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I mean, look what happened. She used her mouth, so we see, we hear what she said. But look at her action. We see what she did. She said one thing and did another? No. She said one thing and she acted on that thing. That's amazing. But see, that's another thing. We see opposite around us nowadays. I mean, that's what a lot of lost people out there, they're out there on the highways and byways. They look at us and they say, well, these hypocrites, that's what I always hear. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to be associated or anything like that. Not us here, but in general. They say, oh, these Christians, they say this one thing. They say all this stuff about Jesus and love and all these things, and then they go to church, and then they go out here and they live like hell. They say, they're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. And they say, well, I don't want that in my life. But yet I like to tell them, I say, well, everybody's a hypocrite at some point in their life. But I said, so you're just saying you don't want to be involved in church or anything because we make mistakes? I said, tell me an organization around you that hasn't made any mistakes. That's hard-pressed to do, if you ask me. But we also find out something else. Number four, Rahab's faith was a faith that influenced others. Rahab's faith, number four, was a faith that influenced others. Now here's the question, how are you influencing people in your life? I mean, you are. I am. I mean, we all are. We may not realize it, but I guarantee you, what you say, how you say, what you dress, how you dress, everything in your life is going to impact somebody around you. It's going to influence somebody. Like Andy, he might be at work, and he's going to be around his coworkers more than I will ever be. Oh, but I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to go out and witness people. Yeah, but guess what? So is he. Why? Because he's a Christian. And even though he's a Christian, he may not say hardly a word here or there, but I guarantee you one thing, the way he lives his life, the way he works, the way he talks to other people, the way he reacts to certain situations, that's going to be a mark of his testimony, and it's going to influence somebody. Somebody in his work might not be a believer, and they might be, well, he's an adopted son of a pastor. Let me see what he does. Let me see how he reacts. And he's going to watch him. Same thing with you. They might look at you and say, well, this person goes to Danieltown Baptist Church. I want to see how they do, how they talk. So they go out and they see us eating out there somewhere. What do they hear us talking about? Are we telling dirty jokes? Are we swearing? Are we talking about things we shouldn't be talking about? What are we doing? Somebody walks by, they say, oh, I know you. You go to Danieltown. You're a Christian. How are we influencing other people, God? It's not just me. So many people like to think, oh, it's just you, preacher. It ain't just me. I may live in a fishbowl, but I tell you right now, it's not just me, myself, and I. It's you too. You are going to impact and affect somebody, especially parents. Parents are going to influence the lives of the children in ways they can't even imagine. And a lot of times, it ain't don't do as I do, but do as I say. It ain't that. They're going to do as they see you do. And they're going to say as they hear you say. So how are we influencing? I mean, it even comes to things we don't even think about. Like coughing or clearing our throat. I have found out I sound like my daddy with that. And I did not say, well, I'm going to try to pattern my speech pattern to sound like my daddy. It ain't that. I didn't try that. It's just how it comes out. So what did Rahab do? Well, she showed concern for other people. She was concerned about these spies. She was concerned about her loved ones. I mean, the city's going to be destroyed. I got to get out of here. You're not just every man for himself. She cared about her family. You know what she did? She did something about what she believed, didn't she? I mean, how many people were inside that house of hers? We don't know. But I'll tell you what. You ever see them little clown cars at the circus? You know, they one comes out and then another one says, wow, there's two clowns in that car, and then another one, and another, and another, and another. How'd they get all these clowns in that one little old car? Well, I bet that's about how the Israelites saw Rahab's house. How many people's going to come out of that house? There's a pile of people coming out of there. Yeah, you know why? Because she was motivated to do something about what she believed. What are we doing with what we believe? We need to pray. We need to witness. We need to persuade. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The terror of the Lord. Do we know the terror of the Lord? Nah, I don't know. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't understand why I had to go through that pain by that suffering, by that sorrow. Maybe you got a whooping from God. Maybe that's what that might have been. I'm not saying it is, but I ain't saying it ain't. Because I'll tell you one thing. It really works. When I crossed the line and my daddy wore my hind end out, now sometimes I have a hard head and it might not sink in right then and right there, but I knew if I do this thing again, I'm going to be hurting again. I don't like that. I'm not going to do that. So maybe God's taken you and I out behind the woodshed and had a powwow with us and given us a spiritual whooping. And then now we're a little bit wiser because we say, you know what? If I do that again, God's going to wear me out again. Amen. I don't want that. I want to do the right thing. What's so bad about that? It ain't. But that's the thing. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I tell you what. Jonathan Edwards preached it right. He said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I don't care if you're lost or if you're saved. It's still a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When he's mad, when he's upset, It's a fearful thing. I love my daddy, but when he was mad, he's ready to dispense discipline. It was a fearful thing to fall into his hand. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. He loves us more than anybody ever could. But when we do wrong, it's a fearful thing to fall into his hand. Because he will dispense discipline. Big time. So knowing that terror in the fear of the living God, we persuade men. How? Any way we can. Number five, I'm done. Rahab's faith was not just a faith that saved. Rahab's faith was not just a faith that worked. Rahab's faith was not just a faith that testified. It wasn't just a faith that influenced others. But number five, Rahab's faith was a faith that resulted in abiding fruit. It was fruit that remained. You say, how do we know? Well, it's the testimony of the Bible. She was saved and her family was. Guess what? The family stayed put. But they didn't stay put in Jericho. Jericho's not fit for living in. David, if you'll come. What happened? Rahab and her family lived in Israel. Oh, they became part of God's people. And then she married into God's family. And then what happened? Well, they had kids. And then those kids had kids. And those other kids had kids. And so forth. So all the way down until finally we find that she wound up being David's great-grandmother. And then David wound up being in the family of Jesus. So now Rahab is in the family of Jesus. It's a fruit that abides. It remains. You know, folks, don't ever forget who you're kept by. You're not kept because you keep the Ten Commandments. You're not going to heaven because you do this or you don't do that. You're kept by the power of God. That's what 1 Peter 1:5 says. Who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Remember who the author and finisher of your faith is. It's Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So folks, I think as we look at the cross, the crucifixion, the resurrection, it's something to put your trust in Jesus who rose from the dead. That's a mighty powerful thing to stop and think about, to put your trust and faith in. You know, that we say we believe that this man died and he's rose from the dead. And not just that, but he's alive now forever. Amen. People look at us and they might say, that's crazy. But guys, that's a faith that worked. Why? Because we've followed, just like Rahab did, that scarlet cord. Not just hanging out of her window, but the scarlet cord that's run all through the entire Bible. Linking chapter by chapter by chapter all the way down to Jesus Christ. You see, from all this tonight that we've looked at, we conclude that we have seen the kind of faith that God wants every one of us to have. The kind of faith that was shown by Rahab. She had been a heathen. She'd have been a non-believer. But she found favor with God. Why? Because of her faith. It was shown by her works. Her faith resulted in a blessing for all the world because she became an ancestor of Jesus Christ. So we, like her, we need to have this same kind of faith. We don't know what the results will be, but we need to have faith. Faith to act upon what God said. You know, is it not a sad thing that we should think it wonderful? Is it not a sad thing that we should think it wonderful for God to hear prayer? A little boy had attended a prayer meeting, and he said to his pastor, "Pastor, I wish my sister could be made to read the Bible. She never reads it." "Why should your sister read the Bible, Johnny?" "Because if she should read it once, I'm sure it would do her good, and she would be converted and be saved." "Do you think so, Johnny?" "Yes, sir, I do. I wish the next time there's a prayer meeting, you would ask the people to pray for my sister that she might begin to read the Bible. Well, it shall be done. So the pastor mentioned that a little boy was very anxious that a prayer should be offered that his sister might begin to read the Bible. So while he mentioned that prayer request, Johnny got up and left. Just left and went home. The next day, the pastor found John and he said, "John, I thought it was very rude of you to get up in the prayer meeting and go out. You ought not to have done so." "But sir," said the boy, "I did not mean to be rude. I just thought I would just go on home and see my sister reading her Bible for the first time." You know what? When you pray, you need to have the same kind of expectation when you pray. Because there's a heap of a lot of time we pray and we really don't believe God's going to do nothing. We're just muttering a bunch of words. Well, James told us over there that if we pray in such a manner, we need not think anything. God is going to do anything because he does not reward that kind of faith, which is no faith at all. You got to pray and believe. So how's your faith tonight? Rahab was staring the end of her world, her family, her life, her very civilization was on the brink of destruction. But 40 years before, while she was a little girl, she heard stories about a people that had a God, a big God who could stop the water, who could slay giants in the battlefield. And those people and their big God was coming their way. It took them a little while to get to the door of the city, but then she met the men who lived for that God and who served that God. And right then and right there, she knew what she was going to do. She was going to trust that God with her life, with her family, with her future. And you know what? The scarlet cord saved her life. Just like the ribbons of scarlet that flowed down the beams of the cross on Calvary saved you and saved me, it can still save anybody today if they only have faith. So tonight, as we bow our heads, as we close our eyes, maybe God's speaking to your heart. The live feed's going off, the mic's going off.